Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? That's an incredible song. A couple of weeks ago at Myrna Daniels Memorial, we sang that song. And from that time on, it inspired me to start studying out what it means to rely on God alone. And we're going to talk a little bit about where this song is inspired from a little later on in the sermon. There's a lot of stuff going on, isn't there? You know, you flip on CNN and there's so much going on. The stuff that's going on in Missouri, heartbreaking. The bombings in Iraq, the Gaza Strip, the sad news about Robin Williams. There's so much stuff going on. If we don't go to God, who are we going to? You know, so many of these tragedies are happening in far-off lands. We're in Atlanta. Missouri sometimes can feel like a far-off land, right? Because it's not right in our backyard. But you know what? There are situations in our personal lives that are affecting us in a great way as well. And it might not be as big as this stuff that's going on here, but for you it is. And where are you going for your hope? The title of this sermon is called A Living Hope. A Living Hope. Where do we go to when we're hurting? You know, we need to be reminded that God is not caught unaware of the situations in our personal lives or in the world. Sometimes we could put on the news and say, man, where is God in all of this? Sometimes injustice can be brought into our lives. We say, okay, if there's a God, why am I going through this? But God says, you need to trust in me. You know, before we even get into what hope is, I want us to remember, my first point is trouble and trials are inevitable. Troubles and trials are inevitable. John 16, verse 33. Let's look over in John 16, 33. We're all familiar with this passage. I'm excited, man. Look at the time. It's early. I'm going to be able to talk for a minute. I can slow down a little bit. I don't just have a New York minute. I got an Atlanta half hour. I feel good. I'm excited, man. I was telling Kendall in the back. I said, bro, I got time. He goes, take your time, bro. So we're going to take our time this morning. Amen. John 16, 33 simply says, this is Jesus speaking. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See, Jesus here is teaching his disciples to take heart, to have peace. Well, recognize that this is in John 16. A couple of chapters later, we all know what happens to Jesus, right? Remember, nothing catches God unaware. Jesus knew what he was about to go through. He knew he was about to be betrayed by his friends. He knew he was going to be ridiculed and disrespected by his creation. He knew he was about to be his physical body to be destroyed for our sake. Though he still told his friends to have peace. Where do we get this peace? It says, so that in me you may have peace. Where do we receive our peace? It's from God. It says, in this world you will have trouble. That's a certain peace. There's a certainty in that statement. He's not saying maybe or perhaps. He's saying for sure, especially if you're with me, there's going to be problems. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Look over in John 14, 27. You know, Jesus calls us to take heart despite problems. Is that the way you deal with life? That no matter what comes on into your life, that you're like, man, I am going to trust God in this situation and that I'm going to depend on him. I know for me, sometimes personally, I need to make sure that I am so close to God when I go through stuff. Yeah. You know, I shared with you guys this last Christmas season, I was going through some depression. I was going through some funky thinking. And it was during that time where I said, man, I need to get so ultra close to God. And amen for friends, amen for disciples and good-hearted people. But man, God needs to be the one that rescues me from this. We need people, but man, we need God. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Man, that is awesome. Again, this is Jesus speaking, the man who has all authority. All authority in Matthew 28 says that all authority had been given to him. And he says to do what? First, he says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Okay, let me ask you this morning, are you filled with peace this morning? No matter what's going on. Now, I'm not saying that we can't feel stuff. I don't know, you can raise your hand if you want to, but I think everybody can raise a hand, a foot, or whatever else you want to raise. We all been through some stuff. We've all been through some stuff. And God is not taking that away from us. He's not saying that we can't speak to him. But he's saying ultimately we need to go back to a place of peace. He says, I do not give you as the world gives. Then it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. What does that suggest? To me, it suggests that we have some control in where our hearts go. Did you get that? That you have control. So when you lose control, don't blame the situations that you're going through for times of unrighteousness. God still expects us to maintain a relationship with him. So there are times, you know what, when you're going through something with somebody, you might just need to be quiet because you might say something crazy. I don't know about you, that could happen to me from time to time. So for me, I might have to say, you know what, we might need to stop this conversation for a second, for a couple seconds. Let's talk tomorrow because I need to go pray. I need to go take this to God and God alone and probably my wife after I go to God, amen. Like I said, you need some trusted advisors. But if you don't go to God first, then you're depending on man. And man will let you down. Man will let you down. I've let many people down. You have let people down. But guess what? God is constant. He will not let us down. It says we cannot give into fear. Jesus wants us to live in peace. So I guess the question is, how do we do that? With bombings going on around the world, there's wars going on in our own country. People are being shot in the streets. We have millionaires committing suicide. People who you think have everything, who have made all of us laugh from time to time. But yet there is such a depression that they have no hope. So where do we get our hope from? My second point is Jesus is our living hope. 1 Peter 1. Let's look over at 1 Peter 1. Oh, man, this is good stuff. I'm encouraging myself up here. If you're not encouraged, I can't help you, but I'm encouraged. I hope you're encouraged. Oh, we just started. I still got an Atlanta half hour. You see how that worked? It didn't even move. It was awesome. Fantastic. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Listen to Peter's heart in this. As you read the scriptures, I encourage you to not only look at the context and the content, but look at the heart in which it's spoken. We need to be people of heart, amen? Hear the heart of praise. It says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer griefs in all kinds of trials. These have come, catch this, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Well, hello. We have a living hope. We have a living hope in Jesus. He is the answer to having the peace that this world can't find. Where does the world find peace in? Alcohol, sex, anything that goes against God, they want to go to for their peace and their comfort. That's not what God calls us to, amen? He calls us to have a living hope. The world can't handle what's going on right now in it. It tears itself apart. But we, as disciples, don't need to respond in such a way. Amen. We're called to live by faith, the end result, which is the salvation of our souls. You know, I was looking at this and I was like, man, living hope is the opposite of what? Dead hope. Yeah, right? You know, you ain't got better rocket science to figure that one out, right? Even I can come up with that kind of stuff. Wisdom. Come on, baby. Pray for it, you get it. Living hope. If your hope is not there, guess what? It's dead. Dead things don't do nothing but lay there. Some dead things lay there and mock you. When's the last time you tried to use your computer and it just decided not to come on? The blank screen is just mocking you. Dead things mock us, but living things help us. The devil is hard at work to steal the joy and the hope in our hearts. You know, as parents, Satan wants to throw it in our face that our kids are not exactly where they're supposed to be. Okay, by whose definition? Who gets to say that? Let me know. I want to speak to that person so they can give me their expert opinion. Because what my Bible says is that we all have stuff we're going through. That includes our children as well. Now, as parents, what is our responsibility? To instill faith and Jesus into them. Now, if we're not doing that, we might be in some trouble right there. But if we are doing that faithfully, what our children do with it is up to them. Now, does that mean you let go? Absolutely not. We are faithful. We stay with our children as they're going through their whatever, we go through it with them. We don't imitate them, we help them through it through discipline, through encouragement, and through love. That was free. That wasn't even in my notes. Man, thank you, God. I appreciate that. But many of us as parents are losing hope. Man, my kid is in whatever grade, they're not a disciple yet. Okay, and when did you become a disciple? Hello? I didn't become a disciple until I wasn't in college. I was out of, I didn't even start college until I was 30. That's another story. Another story. Don't imitate that, children. But we need to have hope that Jesus is powerful. His word is being implemented and implanted right now. Even though they like this and all sleepy and tired, the word is so powerful, it goes through all those closed-looking areas. Only God knows what's open. Sometimes you could be preaching a message and the room is quiet. You know what? I used to be like, man, they're not getting it. And people taught me, you know what? They're getting it a lot. They just can't speak because they're so convicted by the message. People's outward don't necessarily mean what's going on in their heart. Amen? You know how in the South you say, bless his heart? You know what you're really saying, right? Well, that's another thing. I ain't saying nothing else. That's it. I won't get in trouble. You know, this week when I heard about Robin Williams, man, that really bummed me out. Really made me sad because I have struggled with depression at times of my life. And though every day, what is it, every second like this, someone dies, it still hurts. You know, the people we leave behind when we do such things, the immediacy of it, very challenging. But that's the result. God uses situations like that to show us when we don't hope in him, that could be our destination. It's a very sobering thing. You know, in a room this size, there could be people in here dealing with depression right now. What are you doing about it? If you need to go see somebody, you need to see somebody. Don't let nobody tell you you can't take your medicine. You take your medicine. You allow God to work. You be open about what you're going through. You look for God in all situations. You stay close to God and stop depending on people. What do we do naturally when we go through hard times? We complain. What does that do? Absolutely nothing. It just deepens our bitterness. It entrenches our heart into unrighteousness. Sometimes, you know, I used to be like, well, I need to vent. I was told, no, you don't. You need to bring it to God. You need to bring it to God, give it to him, and walk away. Because he says his shoulders are big enough to take our burdens. Verse 5. Let's break this down a little bit. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until, well, let's start at 4. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. What is Peter teaching here? He's teaching that God's power will be our shield. What are you using right now to shield you? Are you calling your bestie? Are you calling your best friend, whether it be your wife, spouse, whatever? I don't know who it is. Are you calling them, expecting them to fix you? They are not enabled. They are not equipped to do that. But God is. God will shield us. God will protect our hearts when we're feeling all types of different ways. Because he made us. He knows us. And he wants to be there for us. Verse 6, it says, in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of suffering. There goes again, talking about grief and suffering, right? Peter here is being a little different than Jesus was. He said, you may have had to go through this and that. Well, let me ask you, have you ever been through any grief? Oh, yes, you have. Have you ever been through any trials? You know, some of us have been through one or the other or both at the same time. So we get this. But what does he say that we need to do? We still need to greatly rejoice. Why? Because God is God alone. See, if you had no God, if you had no one that had your back, you have reason to be depressed. It is justified to feel that way. But when we are Christians, when we are disciples, or we are people that are really seeking after him and trying to get our life right, man, we need to greatly rejoice because God is at work in our lives. Verse 7. These have come. What is these? The grief and the suffering. So without the grief and the suffering, this can't come. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith. Why do we go through stuff? So that God can refine our faith. I don't know about you. I need my faith refined. And God in his wisdom knows how to do that better than I do. Quiet times are incredible. You know, praising God is incredible. And it's all part of the relationship with God. Amen? But it's not everything. Part of our relationship with God is that he allows us to go through grief and suffering. We don't like that very much, do we? No, we don't. We don't. It's just true. It's not like when your car breaks down, but like, amen, God is, refining my faith. I'm going to be 2 hours late for work and they might fire me. Praise Jesus. We don't do that, right? We start grumbling and complaining. Okay, that's what you used to do. Now you praise God for it. Now you transform your thinking, and when stuff comes, be like, well, God must have something in store for me with this. God is trying to do something with me. You know, at one point we were drinking milk. Now it's time to have some steak, y'all. It's time to be mature. So when times come, and here's the thing, I am not belittling stuff we go through. There is a time where God is like, okay, you know, you can have your 5 minutes, but we can't stay there. Because what does Satan do with that? He has a field day and wants us to be destroyed. Verse 8 says, though you may not have seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him, you believe in him, are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. That is what God has in store for us. Now, I'm not talking about when your trials finish. Your trials may finish with death. Are you going to wait for death to get happy again?
Yeah, that's right.
Both my parents died of lung cancer. And they both expressed it and dealt with it differently. My dad was just a joy. He was always like, that's a real lighthearted guy. My mom, she went through a lot of suffering in her life. She had Parkinson's disease. She understood suffering. So while she was going through it, she handled it different than my dad did. But there came a point that my mom had to say, you know what? I can't be like this all the time. I can't constantly focus on the pain. I can't constantly focus on the hurt that I'm going through. So I need to rejoice now while I'm alive and still can, because we can't wait to rejoice when we're dead. It is time to rejoice now, even through the pain. Even when somebody betrays you. Even when somebody talks smack about you at school. Even when somebody at a job has selfish ambition and they're pushing you out the way so that they can get the promotion. These are all real situations, right? And God is not caught unaware by any of them. So why are you? Why are we? When bad times come, we like, God, why? He's like, I told you it was coming. I just didn't tell you the flavor. You got that? Some of you caught it, right? It is coming, I just didn't tell you exactly what it was going to be. Because if I did, where's the faith? That just convicted me. Verse 9, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Isn't that what we're all about? We're all about being with him. We understand this is temporary. We understand this is for a little while. We understand we're a mist. That, you know, dead in the body, caught up with the Lord. Amen? I mean, that's what the way we need to be thinking. So when stuff comes, we're not like, oh my gosh, my life is over. No. God is your living hope. And if he's not, you might as well lay down, go into a corner and just give up. Isn't that how the world handles it, though? Far be it for us to handle it in that way. My third point is we must remain in Jesus. Turn over to Colossians 2. Oh, man, that's so good. Colossians 2, starting verse 6. Colossians 2, starting verse 6 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up where? In him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. It's so good. Let's read it again. It says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Is your life an expression of overflowing thankfulness? When it's not, you know what's happening? We have forgotten how blessed we are. We start looking at the temporary and thinking that's the permanent. Did you hear that? We look at the temporary and thinking this is going to be forever, when this whole world, this whole realm has not been designed to be forever. It's been designed to make our faith what? Genuine. so that we could get what? Salvation. That's what this is all about. So when all the other stuff comes up, you could be like, all right, it's not all that important. Now that's a much, that I'm not there yet. I'm just saying. I study this out to teach it to you as I'm teaching it to myself. But this is where God wants us to be, where we could be people of faith. And when obstacles come, first of all, we're not caught unaware, but we're remembering that we need to be in him to get through it. You can't pull yourself out and throw yourself in the middle of the battlefield and say, I'll be good. No, you won't. You're going to die. Your foolishness is going to get you killed. It is time, when you go through stuff, it's time to get even deeper with God. He says right here that, verse 7, rooted and built up in him. A plant cannot grow unless it's rooted in the soil. It is not just going to stick its roots in the air and say, I'm going to grab osmosis. I'm going to grab the sunlight through my feet. That's not going to work. You get it? The plant, the feet. Anyway, y'all are slow. Come on, man. Keep up, people. We need to be rooted in him. Scripture commentator Alexander McLaren wrote, for until the roots of your life go down into God and you draw your life from him, you are not in your right soil. What is your soil this morning? You know, the greatest thing about this is we could decide to plant ourselves right now. You don't even got to leave the room. You don't even have to say, excuse me, I need to go home and have a quiet time. You could just decide right now that no matter what I'm going through, that I will be planted in him and that I will not give up. Like I said before, a lot of times men will fail us, won't they? But here's the thing. Most men don't fail you on purpose. They do it by mistake. And then we're all learning, aren't we? So we need to have much grace, abundant grace, because praise God, hopefully that grace will come back on us. But guess what? God is God. He doesn't make mistakes. He's never too early, and he's never too late. He's always right on time. He has our life planned out. Now it is up to us to depend on him and say, okay, God, which way should I go? Not only seek for the input, then put the plan into practice. Are you seeking input from God and then putting the plan into practice? How do you do that? Through obedience. People are like, I don't know God's will. What do you want me to do? He laid it out in the Bible. Here's the thing. Follow what you know and pray to God for the rest. Some of the things in the scriptures are so clear, we would trip if we didn't see them. They're right there. God, what's your will? He don't care what flavor ice cream you eat today. Stop asking God trivial questions. Stop asking God trivial questions. Ask God questions that matter. He wants to see you thinking outside the box. God, what would you have me do? I already told you. Seek and save the lost. Have a real great relationship with me. Treat your neighbor as you would treat yourself. Why don't we start right there and come back later and we could talk some more. God just wants us to be obedient to what we know and continue to learn from him about what we don't know. My last point is God alone. God alone. You know, Psalm 62 is the scripture that inspired the song we sang before. What I want you guys to do is not read it. I want you guys to listen, okay? Close your eyes if you need to. Sway your hands. No, I'm kidding. I want you to become a little bit more emotionally attached to this. Sometimes we come to church and we want to be taught, which is awesome. We need to be taught. But y'all, if we don't feel, we're in trouble. A relationship is about an emotional bonding, amen? I want to be emotionally bonded to God. I want to do what I'm supposed to do, not do it because I'm compulsed to do it. Amen? Let's read a little bit about the psalmist, how he felt about God. Psalm 62, verse 1 says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Will all of you throw me down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, O God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what he has done. God alone, where does your soul find rest? Where is your refuge this morning? You know, the psalmist here is saying that God alone is the one that's going to grant rest for his soul. It is God alone who grants salvation. It is God alone who is the fortress that will allow him to never be shaken. This is what I want for my life. This is what I hope that you want for your life. That, again, going to our friends is fantastic. But I will not go to a man before I go to the Lord. A man, you go to five people that give you five different pieces of advice. God gives you one. God is consistent. And again, this ain't a sermon about being independent. It's about being dependent on God. And then we're equipped to be an incredible church. If we're people running around giving our wisdom, we're in trouble. If you haven't discipling times without your Bible open, oh Lord, we're in trouble. Because we have a lot of physicians that are healing thyself. God wants us to use the scriptures, to use his word to help each other. Amen? That was free. I wasn't in here either. Man, God is just working, baby. God wants us to get our thinking from him. Last Psalm, you can take this and listen again. Psalm 121. It says, I lift up my eyes to the heavens. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your comings and goings, both now and forevermore. Okay, let me ask you a question. Who can say that in this room? Who can make such boast claims? Can your wife say that? Can your husband say that? Can any church leader say that? Not at all. It is God alone. Man, we have an incredible church. We are blessed by God to have incredible elders that lead us in an incredible way. And we have people here, deacons. I mean, there's so many people here that are just trying to do God's will, and they need to be commended for that. And we need to lift up their arms. But again, it must be God who we go to first. And then we go through man. Amen? You know, Romans 8:28 says that God works for the good, works in all things for the good of those who love him. That's a scripture that I really hold on to on a daily basis. Because sometimes something that don't look so good is coming your way. And like, well, God's going to work in that thing that don't look so good for my good. So I need to have faith in those times. Again, where are you rooted this morning? Let us always remember that trials and troubles are inevitable. Jesus is our living hope. We must remain in Jesus, and God alone is whom we must depend on. Amen.
if you would, bow your heads. God, thank you for today. Thank you just for blessing us to still be alive, Lord God. I thank you for the opportunity for us to hear your message preached, Lord God, and the class this morning and just John Becker's message, Lord God, that you spoke through him, Father, about depending on you and really learning to rely on you, Father. I pray that we would not run to all the different things that we normally run to when it comes to us trusting in ourselves and trusting in man and trusting in idols. But I pray that we would run to you, Lord God, that I myself would truly learn to depend on you, Lord God, that we will all depend on you for the rest of this year, Lord God, and for the rest of our lives. I pray that you would come and bless the campus ministry, Lord God, as we're getting ready to start school tomorrow, Father. I pray that you would come and work powerfully, move powerfully, Father. I pray that you would move powerfully in every ministry in this church. I pray that we would always remember that this is your church, Lord God, and that we must depend on you for everything that we do. Thank you for all that you have done. Please just come and be here with us for the remainder of this day. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.